Good morning. Sunday school teacher told to the third grade class, "We have learned the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Is there any that refers to brothers and sisters? Little girl, thou shalt not kill." That was for Fred. I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but our minds are kind of going along the same direction today. You were talking about grace and mercy, and I have entitled my lesson today, Mercy. And so it's been on my mind a lot lately, and what Fred said this morning really hit me really well. I liked it. We're all here today with the hope that God will extend His mercy to us when we are in front of His judgment. We want His mercy. Some of my favorite Bible verses talk about mercy. And if I wanted to stop right now with one verse, it would work. I would say, Matthew 5 and 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." That's Jesus talking in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Our former president, Truman, said, "I do not believe there is a problem in this country or the world today which could not be settled if approached through the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount." And if you go through that, there's a lot of truth to that, because Jesus came up with the simple facts about life, about what would make life good. And one of those things was, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And that's true, I think, on earth as it is in heaven. In the days of animal sacrifice, Micah wrote in Micah 6, verses 6 through 8, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." He wanted sacrifices. He asked them for sacrifice. He told them about sacrifices and said, "This is how you will follow my law." But He showed what is really good, and that is to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Another verse that's one of my favorites, James 2, verses 12 and 13. "Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment." I want to emphasize that. Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Judgment without mercy. If you want God's mercy, be merciful, because mercy triumphs over judgment. A quick definition of what mercy is. I looked in Vine's Greek dictionary. It says that mercy is the outward manifestation of pity. Outward manifestation of pity. So if I pity somebody, then I have something to follow up with there. That's the outward manifestation of that. It assumes need on the part of him who receives it, and resources adequate to meet the need on the part of him who shows it. For instance, God can show us mercy. He has the ability to show us mercy, and we have that need for His mercy. Same is true with us. There are people that have done us wrong, and they have that need for our mercy. Do we have the resources adequate to meet that need? What's the difference between grace and mercy? I don't know that I can give you a real good definition, a good distinction. But to me, God's the only one that really could give me grace, that really has the grace. We owe God a tremendous amount, and there's no way that we can make up for it. It's only by God's grace. You can make up for whatever you've done wrong to me, but I don't think you could ever make up for what we've done for God versus what he's done for us. And I think it's only God then that can give us his grace. And I think it's through his grace that he extends his mercy. He gives us, cuts us slack for the things that we've done wrong. And I think that's his mercy. It's his mercy that allows us to be forgiven. I think God extends his grace to all, but he only gives his mercy to those who want it. He only forgives those who try to be forgiven. I want to talk a little bit about conservatives and Pharisees. I am a conservative both economically and socially, if you want to look at it in my leanings politically, whatever. I lean toward conservative. My problem with that, and this is really what got me to think about mercy, my problem with conservatives and the viewpoints that we have is a lot of times we don't have any room for mercy. We don't have room for any different point of view. You know, there's one right way and that's it. That's kind of putting ourselves in God's point, in God's place. There is one truth, there is one right, and that's God that's the holder of that, not me. There are times when I need to be a little bit more soft-hearted and be more leaning toward the opposite of the conservative, or be more liberal. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, I want to read the first 8 verses. And this kind of goes along with those of us that think that we know the right, and if anybody strays from it, they're personally getting at me. There's a problem there. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate that day and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of Sabbath." It was against God's law to do work on the Sabbath. It was against God's law for David and his men to go to the temple and eat the consecrated bread. But there are things that are above that law. And that's not us, and it's not our place to step in and say, "Okay, you ate some grains on the Sabbath. You're sinful." If you had known what these words mean, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," you would not have condemned the innocent. How many times do we condemn the innocent because we are so strict in our view of what's right and wrong? I'm not saying you allow sin, but maybe we need to watch and see whose definition we're using. In Matthew 9, verses 10 through 13, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy that need a doctor, who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call the sinners. Are we out watching to make sure the sinners come to Jesus, or are we trying to make sure that they aren't sinners? In Luke 7, verses 33 and 34, Jesus says, "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" Which way do you want it? I mean, you don't like John because he doesn't eat and doesn't drink, and you don't like Jesus because he does eat and he does drink. Are we like the Pharisees? Do we look at all those little things and make big things out of them? Ann Landers said one time, Hate is like acid. It can damage the vessel in which it is stored as well as destroy the object on which it is poured. Watch out where we pour that hatred. I think when Jesus was short on mercy, it was always with someone that didn't deserve his mercy. It was somebody that wasn't merciful himself. Luke 17 and 10. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. How many times do we think that way? If we thought that way, I think we would be merciful to others. We would be humble and say, when I'm done with all the work that I've done for you, God, I'm still an unworthy servant. I haven't done good enough for you. And if I have that attitude, I will be more likely to look at myself and see how sinful I am rather than somebody else. Who will cast the first stone? Who is sinless? In Romans, the 12th chapter, it talks about several different gifts that people were given or people have and how to use them. One of those, it says, if it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. If your gift is showing mercy, do it cheerfully. One aspect of mercy is, in my mind, it cannot be deserved. Fred was saying what we deserve, you know, it's not fair. Well, I don't think mercy can be deserved. By definition, mercy is given where it's not deserved. It's somebody cutting some slack for where we come up short. Mercy is not deserved. And to me, that's probably the most important thing about mercy that I need to know, is that I don't deserve it. It seems to me that Paul had a reason for writing to the Romans, and that was that to show them that no one can be righteous on their own, that no matter where you stand in life, that you are not righteous and that God doesn't owe you anything. In Romans 11, 32, for God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them, on them all. So that he may have mercy on them all. Not so that he can condemn them. He's made right and wrong, and so that when we do stray, he can have mercy on us. Remember when Jesus talked about a man that prayed on the street corner wanting to be heard for how great his prayer was. And then another man says, the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's Luke 18, 13. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It was that man that was justified. The one that considered himself a sinner. God would have considered him a sinner too. We're all sinners. But this man had the attitude of, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Not the attitude of, I want everybody to see how righteous I am. A criminal may throw himself on the mercy of the court, and it's not because he deserves mercy. It's because he's guilty of something, but wants to be shown mercy. He doesn't deserve it, but he's asking for it. You can't deserve mercy. In Luke 10, verses 36 and 37, actually you go before that, there's a man that wants to know what's the greatest of the commandments. And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. And the second one, he didn't want to leave out the second one. The second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when asked then, who's my neighbor, Jesus went through what we now call the story of the Good Samaritan. There was a priest and a Levite that passed through by a man that needed help. He had been beaten and robbed. They passed by because they didn't want to deal with it. But a Samaritan coming by bound up his wounds and took care of him and paid for his expenses. And Jesus asked this man, he said, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The answer that the man gave, the one who had mercy on him. The one who had mercy on him. The one that showed mercy was the neighbor. The one that had mercy was the one that loved his neighbor. The one that had mercy was the one that followed what the law was. Jesus said, go and do likewise. God loves those who love others. He loves to show mercy to those who show mercy. In Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. That becomes a major obstacle then for us being shown mercy or being shown forgiveness. Is it whether we're holding something against somebody else when we're asking for that forgiveness? Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law. They're giving their spices, things that they could do without, things that weren't that hard to come by. They would do that for God or to be righteous. But it says, Jesus says, you have neglected the more important matters of the law. And what were those? Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Mercy was in there. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. You strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. You take out all these little things and you can deal with those, but you'll swallow a camel. You don't deal with mercy or judgment or faithfulness. To obtain mercy, show mercy. Proverbs 11:17. A kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings trouble on himself. If you want to be cruel, you're going to bring cruelty on yourself. If you're kind, others will be kind to you. And that's a general rule, not going to always happen because there are people out there that don't want to be kind and don't want to be merciful. But it is a general rule. In Luke 6, verses 32 through 36, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. If you want to be like the Father, be merciful. Back to what James said, mercy triumphs over judgment. Leon read for me today a long passage. I don't want to have to read all of it. It was talking about forgiving others. And part of that is some verses where we turn to and we say, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And I want to look at that just maybe a little bit different than I've ever looked at it before. I don't know exactly how I've looked at it before, but if someone has done us wrong, and I think this is even beyond that, this is something that maybe they've done the group wrong, the church wrong. If we're willing to forgive them, so does our Father. What's bound on earth is bound in heaven. What is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Wouldn't that be a great thought to think that someone was forgiven by God because I forgave him? Someone got mercy from God because I showed him mercy? Wouldn't that be a great thought? Not that I'm better because of that, but because that person benefited by something I did. Now, we're not likely to think of it that way because this is somebody that did us wrong. So we got to get beyond those thoughts. We got to get to the thought of, I want to be merciful whether this person has done me wrong or not. And then Jesus closes up that with the discussion of, there's this servant that owed lots to somebody. And he begged and he pleaded, please forgive me because he's going to go out and sell my family to pay off this debt. And I don't want to do that. The man had mercy on him and said, I forgive you the debt. It wasn't, you can pay me later. It was, I forgive you the debt. The man that was forgiven the debt went out and found somebody that owed him some small amount. And when that small amount wasn't able to be paid, he took it out on that other person. Didn't have mercy on him at all. He'd just been shown mercy, but he went out and he was exacting punishment out of somebody else, saying, you owe me. Well, the master then calls the first one back in and he says, you know, that was a wicked thing to do. I forgave you everything, and you couldn't forgive this man a small amount. And I think he's trying to put us in the position of that first servant. God's forgiven us, and he's been merciful to us. Why can't we show a little bit of mercy to the people that owe us? People that have done us wrong. Can we show a little bit of mercy? And if not, he'll call us in and say, "You wicked servant." Because it says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." And forgiveness and compassion and mercy all go together. If you don't forgive, if you don't have mercy, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Do you want God to say that to you? I want to close with this. What should you rather rely on in the judgment day? Being able to stand up in front of God and saying, "I've been a righteous servant for you. I've done everything you asked." Or would you rather be able to say, "God, please look on me with mercy. Let the blood of your Son cover my sins. I've come short, and I know that, but I've accepted your mercy." Which would you rather have? 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Can I say to my Father when I see him, "I've been righteous, and I deserve everything you've got here for me"? Just know ahead of time, we can't say that. We won't be able to say that. But we can stand up if we take our time here to do that. We can stand up and say, "I want to take the blood of Jesus Christ as my defense. He's the righteous one, and he is the atoning sacrifice for my sins. Please let me enter into your fold." If there's anyone that wants to accept Jesus and wants to take his blood as being the covering for your sins, you want to take the mercy of God, start today. If you've already accepted Jesus as that covering, but if you've gone away from that and been unmerciful, think about that and think about what God will say to you in that last day. "You didn't really take the blood of my Son. You didn't take my mercy, because I said to take my mercy, you need to be merciful." So if there are those that are following that path, please change from that. Let's sing the invitation song.